Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Everybody, it is 8 o'clock on Thursday night, the 23rd. It's a fantastic steamy night here. The pool is lovely. It's still too muggy to go outside, but I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for At Home with Victoria, and welcome to another episode of At Home with Victoria. Our lovely news lady is away. She's playing doctor with the doctor. Apparently, the doctor husband. Surprised her with a little surprise, so she's going to be back next week to go ahead and tell us all about it. But I'm very excited about tonight's show. It's a little bit interesting because Seth Michael's with us, and usually our musical artist, we have music on with the artist, but he's here to tell us about a very special project coming up, launching in September, totally a departure from his past stuff. But so he wants to go ahead and strike a clean slate, so we're going to be talking to him a little bit later, and then we're going to be talking with John C. Smith, who is kind of a co-founder of the Living with MS benefit. This is the second annual music extravaganza down at the Harbor, and it comes up on the 25th on Saturday. So I'm going to have him to talk about a little bit about MS and a little bit about this fantastic 12 hours of nonstop fresh music. So that being said, I'm going to start off with a little bit of music cue. It's always nice to go ahead and see back in the studio and visit old friends. So I'm going to start with a little bit of, songwriter and singer anthem, Preston Leatherman with I'm So Broke. Don't go away. Seth Michael, we'll be right back.
From the CYP, but there's nothing to see in my wallet. I turn my phone off just in case you've been calling. I got a negative balance in my bank account. Had to move back into my mom's house. It's a pretty high price to pay, but I really like to get away. But I'm so broke, you don't even know. I rob a big house and they won't even notice what's missing. And if they catch us, they're the ones paying for prison. I get 3 square meals, 3 room and board, all the luxuries that we can't afford. It's a pretty high price to pay.
Somebody help me out of this world.
Leatherman with the national anthem for anybody starting out in the entertainment industry with I'm So Broke. Joining us now, Seth Michael. Welcome to At Home with Victoria. Wouldn't you agree that's the national anthem, my friend?
You couldn't have picked a better song if you were having me on there, Michael.
Welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. Buddy, I was searching and searching for information on you. I found your little spot on MySpace, and basically you're an unknown. I'm really tickled that you didn't bring any music with you, because I think what you're doing is pretty fantastic. But let's go back. You're originally from Kentucky, from a big family, small family. How did that work out?
Small family, single mom, single dad, split time. Independence, Kentucky is kind of where my roots are, about 15 minutes from Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And moved around a lot, spent some time in North Carolina, lived a little bit after college, Chicago and D.C., and then I seemed to always come back home to Kentucky.
Yeah. Now, the music bug bit you, I'm hearing a little late in life. Is that true?
It was kind of a fluke. My story is definitely different than anybody else's out there. I always had, you know, I always thought it would be wonderful to be on stage. It intrigued me, but I had never really held a microphone. I want to say 26 years old and out with some buddies, and we were having a good time after our bowling league on a Wednesday night. And I don't know if it was a dare or a bet or what, but I got up and sang a song from Confederate Railroad called Trashy Women. It was more supposed to be a joke, and I thought I'd get booed. I don't know what was going to happen. And when I got done, standing ovation, my buddy's looking at me with his mouth hanging open going, "How long you been singing, man?" And I said, "I don't know, how long's the song, 3-4 minutes? And
wow.
For about a year, we just kind of sang that song for fun and tried some new songs. And then I decided it'd be fun to put a band together. And I actually got kicked out of my first band because I couldn't sing. And
really?
Fortunately for me, the other guy didn't show up, so they were stuck with me. And a few months later, we parted ways, and I learned a lot, worked harder, getting better. And now I get paid to play all over the world, and it's a pretty exciting life.
Yeah, you've played with a few. You've had a few Cincy bands, correct? That you were playing.
Yeah, I was with my first band was called Rent It Mule. We were just a fun party band, a couple firemen in the band, and it was just a good fun time. We would try anything. You know, we'd do Gloria Gaynor if we had to. Picture a country singer up there singing disco. And my second band was a little bit more serious, called Fowler Creek. Some great musicians, but you know, putting a band together, it's tough to get four or five people on the same page in the same place in life. And when, you know, the best way I can describe this, I don't know a lot about it, but it's got to be like a drug in your system.
Mm-hmm.
You just get that feeling, and you just want more of it. And being on stage is a feeling that you just really can't describe. It competes with anything I've ever done, you know, sports or anything at all.
Yeah. But, you know, performing kind of is in your blood. You are Italian, which I find you're almost like Darius Rucker to country music, you know. a nice paisan, make a meatball, but
Michael Anthony,
race.
Seth Rivi the III. Yeah, that's so everybody's called me Seth since I was a little kid. They called my dad Seth, and so that's where the Seth Michael came from, Seth Michael Band. But, Seth Rivi's got way too many vowels to be on country radio, so here we are, Seth.
Yeah. Now, since then, you play instruments too. You're self-taught, or?
No, I sure don't. I don't play an instrument at all, which makes songwriting
really
that much
wow.
more challenging, and you know, I guess makes it makes the adventure a little tougher, I guess you would say. But you know, you got to find a way to overcome. When I write, I just kind of come up with a melody, and I sit down with other songwriters, and when we get done, we end up with a song. So.
Yeah. You've opened for some pretty spectacular people. We had Trailer Court on, Vinnie Hickerson a little while ago, but you've opened for them. You've opened for Sugarland. You've opened for Tim McGraw. Is that true?
Yeah, we played Riverbend Music Center in Cincinnati. It was a small stage show. He's on the big stage. You know, you don't get to meet those guys. It's not what it's all cracked up to be. It's a lot of fun to be out there and play in front of 20,000 people, but you know, their focus is definitely on Tim McGraw and Blake Shelton, not so much me. But it was a great experience. And Trailer Choir, Vinny was about 150 pounds ago when I got to play with those guys, so that was a great time.
Yeah, he was. His new stuff is really good. Have you listened to any of it?
I have listened to a couple of songs, and very excited for those guys. They're all great guys, and so hopefully, I think that his place in life is really going to help his career, the changes he's made with his life. So.
Oh, he looks fantastic.
Looks incredible. Absolutely incredible. And if you've when you've stood next to him and taken a picture in between that band and you can't get your arm halfway around him, and now he's in better shape than anybody I know. So I'm very, very happy for him, and not just his career, but his health. I mean, that's
absolutely. When he was on, we were talking about diet practices, just to off track a little bit. I said, most fitness professionals go ahead and allow you to go ahead and have one cheat day. I says, do you have that one cheat day? He says, well, my food addiction is sort of like heroin. It's sort of like saying to a heroin addict, you're good for seven, you're good for 6 days. Just on the seventh, just blow it away. So it was really interesting how he went ahead and equivocated fitness into that. But tell us a little bit about Rachel Lynn. I know she's joining you on this next venture that's coming up.
Yeah, she's a Cincinnati artist, a good friend of mine. She's a mother and works a day job, so she doesn't get to do it at the level that that I get to do it. But we try to include her in a few shows. She's a Lake Cumberland with us. She's a great singer, a fireball on stage, just a ball of energy.
Yeah.
And a joy to be around, and it's nice to be able to get her up and let her to experience it. I try to get all my friends to feel what it feels like. We were playing in Cincinnati last weekend, 1,300 people singing back to you whatever song we were doing. It was the Eric Church song, and I got my three best friends up there just so you feel what that feels like, and it's like nothing else. So Rachel's welcome to play with us anytime, and this is a houseboat trip at Lake Cumberland in Kentucky. It's probably, we got Vegas on our schedule, we've got Nashville, but Lake Cumberland in Kentucky is my favorite gig of the year because, you're on the water for four straight days. You're only playing a four-hour show on Saturday night, and the rest of the time you're catching up with friends on the water. I mean, it's the type of stuff that country music you write songs about.
Right, absolutely. The tell us about your old stuff that you started with and stuff. I know you said it was a little bit more basement and everything, but the tracks I listen to, buddy, really are, can be very radio ready with little effort.
We're gonna bring back a couple of those songs. There's one song called Rainy Day Love Making, and that's gonna be on the new CD. It did get a little radio play in Ohio at the time, but that was done in a guitar player's basement of his home, and for the equipment we were working with, he did a great job on that song, and we're just going to modernize it a little bit more and make it a little bit more commercial for today's radio. But the wonderful song, I still get Facebook messages. I'll wake up and evidently it'll be raining in Cincinnati and wherever I'm at, and I'll have friends or fans plug that song and say it's raining, what a great day for that, and it's just a great message in that song about taking advantage of the time that you do have with your significant other, because you don't get those days where you can just wrap yourself up in each other. And I think if people listen to that message there, it could really help out. It was inspired by a friend of mine. He listened to the song for the first time, started crying. A line that we have in there about him, and so hopefully that might be a song that people can sing, spend some time together, and work on their relationship. So you got to take advantage of those days, especially when you have kids and families.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of scratch tracks, though. I like to hear it as raw as it can. I've heard some of the most amazing scratch tracks in a bathroom, boy, where it's just like, holy, it just depends when the moment hits you. I like actually sensing that moment, versus a totally cleaned up commercial version. But tell us about the new one.
Feel free to play that one if you want.
Oh, I
remember
I will.
The first time I heard it on the radio, I was sitting at a red light, and I literally sat through the red light. My friend was behind me, and she's honking at me, going, I can't believe it's on the radio. And I don't think the rest of the traffic out there appreciated it, but it was a great feeling. The new stuff, we just finished a song today that's going to be on the CD. It's called Monster. It's been about a five-year work in progress. It's inspired by a family member of mine and who overcame a really serious addiction to crystal meth and lost her children for a while and beat it. With that said, she's been clean for years and years and years, but there's not a day that goes by that she doesn't have to fight that addiction. And that's basically what the song is about. It's called Monster. That addiction's always there. It's always watching. It's waiting for you to slip up. So the first verse is inspired by her with drug addiction. The second verse is inspired by gambling. I've had some friends, I was in the bowling world for a while, and I've had friends that have won $100,000 in a bowling tournament 3 months later are broke. And so really, any type of addiction, you're talking about Vinny earlier, food, anything at all, you're battling it. And until you've dealt with it, or dealt with a family member that's fighting it, you just really don't know what people are going through. So hopefully that song will inspire. It's an uplifting song about just being strong and beating it. Real strong hook, and I'm really excited about that song being on there.
Yeah. Just to backtrack a little bit, go into a little bit more about what it felt like to hear your song on the radio for the first time. That has got to mess with your head.
It messes with me right now. Just talking about it right now, you get emotional, and you know, your goal. People ask me what my goal was years ago, and it was one day I want to hear my song on the radio, whether I'm singing it or not. I moved to Nashville to be a songwriter, not an artist. The artist thing's kind of happened, but when you hear that coming out of there, and it's just, you're literally the hair on your arm stands up. You know, you're just, it's the tears in your eyes, and it's just an incredible feeling. I wish everyone could experience something like that, and it's just amazing. And you sit back and it's almost surreal. And then 3 minutes later, it's gone.
Absolutely.
You're trying to capture that moment again. So, you know, my goal is to hear that a lot. It doesn't matter if it's me singing it. It doesn't matter if it's Tim McGraw, anybody else. I want to hear my songs on the radio. I feel like that I have a lot of good to give. And, you know, some songs are just about having a good time and partying. You know, Luke Bryan makes a living out of making people reflect on, you know, their teenage years. It's about bonfires. It's about tailgates. It's about pan legs. And so we'll have some of those songs on there. But, you know, for the most part, I tend to be more of an emotional type guy. I want to inspire. One of the other songs of mine that I wrote that's going to be on the CD is I wrote it with Josh Gramling of Radio Romance, and it's called I've Been Wrong Before. And that's anybody that's been in a serious relationship that didn't work out, they tend to step into the next one with one foot in, one foot out. And it's an incredible song. Josh is an amazing songwriter, and really excited about cutting that song.
Wow. See, now you're just teasing everybody. Now I want to hear the friggin' music. But anyways, I will go ahead and sit and wait patiently till September.
Feel free to have me back here in about 6 weeks.
I'll have you back. Yes, I'll have you back to play some of this stuff, too. We have live chat actually going on. I want to make mention of everybody up in chat. Gina from California, guest 4160, 4273, Marby producing tonight, and Sandy from Nebraska. Going to go to a live email to Lorraine from Las Vegas wants to know, and this is a really good question, what messes with your head more, listening to your song on the radio or watching people sing along to your songs during a concert? That's a good question.
That's probably the best feeling in the world. Having people, because they took the time to memorize your material, somewhere along the way that song hit them. And we do that Rainy Day Love Making song when we play in Cincinnati, Kentucky. And some of the people that follow us around, they sit out there and sing it. And that right there is the best feeling in the world. You know, you can stop singing, they start singing it back to you. And that's an amazing feeling. That's when you know, if you can touch one person with your music, that's all you ask for. And we've definitely had the opportunity to do more than that. That definitely messes with your head more. I can't imagine what Eric Church feels like every night of the week that he plays and hears people singing back that Springsteen song. Because, I mean, just when I cover it for, you know, our shows, 1,300 people singing it back to you, and I didn't even write it. You know, it's not my song.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that feels like for him. So that would definitely be it. However, I hope the first time I hear my stuff on national radio, I'm not in major traffic because I might wreck.
Mm-hmm. Do you actually enjoy singing? I know you kind of flukified it, but, I mean, do you actually enjoy the physical part of it? Do you get the release that most singers think and talk about?
Oh, yeah. When you catch my show, I'm about as high energy as I get. We were interviewing producers today and meeting with them, and if I can make music a contact sport, it would be. I'm pretty intense on stage, sweat the whole time, put it all out there, a high energy show. And, you know, I've always enjoyed the performance side of it. I'm not sure if you know, I was 36 before I moved to Nashville. So when I decided to come to Nashville, I really had a realistic approach, was being an artist a reality. And I knew I could be a songwriter. I didn't know that being, the potential to be an artist was going to be an option. So that's why I kind of downplay that end of it. If, you know, there's nothing I would rather do than be out there making a living, meeting fans and being on stage singing my stuff every single night. But at the same time, you know, I come from a realistic world. It's a tough business to get into. And if you know, a 21-year-old guy coming out of, you know, wherever is the guy that cuts my songs, and it boosts his career and my songs are on radio, I'm perfectly happy with that. But make no mistake, there's nothing like, you know, being out there performing on stage and having people, you know, holding on to every word. It's an incredible feeling.
Yeah, you know what, and I applaud your bravery. Nashville is a very, I call it a friendly monster. Everybody's so wonderful just to be around, and sincerely I mean that, but boy, you got to have talent to live in that town, and if you don't, you're weeded out pretty damn quick, so I admire your chops, buddy. You know, would you agree?
Well, you know, you got to have resilience. I walked away from a 10-year real estate career to chase this crazy dream, and, you know, it wasn't the first time that I was told no when I got here. And it took me a long time. I was thinking about this day, getting ready for this interview. You know, we played 26 shows this month. My first 7 months in Nashville, 6 months in Nashville, I didn't play 26 shows.
Wow.
And, you know, I was chasing bar managers, bar owners, just trying. I mean, you're begging to play for free, basically, you know, small base pay and tips down here. And, you know, my first gig in Nashville, my first shift was 2 to 6 on a Sunday afternoon. And the bar wasn't even open when we get there. And you start out with zero people in the room. But you're begging for that opportunity. And, you know, to look back and to be able to play in Las Vegas and play, you know, Georgia and Alabama and all these other places and get paid well to do that. And then we still play for tips here in Nashville too. You know, most of the shows on our schedule this month are tip-driven shows, but you really just have to appreciate it. You have to stop and remember 2 years ago you were selling houses and deals were falling through and you're watching people that usually you knew losing their homes and, you know, music. I'm getting paid to play music for a living. And I think a lot of times we forget that that we are so blessed to be able to do this. So it is a tough town. I think that anybody with resilience, obviously you have to have a certain amount of talent to be here and stay here. But, you know, it's the people that can't take the no's and the doors being shut in your face. If you can't develop thick skin, you can't stay here.
Yeah, no, true. True, absolutely. If you want to go ahead and check out Seth Michael's concert dates, you can go ahead and check him out at sethmichael.jimbo, JIMDO.com for show dates. Yeah, I mean, how do you do two shows, August 26th, Big Shots, and then August 26th, Crossroads? Do you just walk across the street?
I wish it was across the street. It's about a block and a half away, and we got to log, you know, carry our drummer stuff and, you know.
That's what I'm saying, just for schlepping your equipment around.
Yeah, I actually, in the month of August, I do doubles every Wednesday, every Sunday, and almost every Saturday this month. And it's 8 hours straight singing. It's not easy. Physically, I played a double last night. I'm definitely hoarse today. But, you know, you got to do what you have to do. I have a four-year-old back in Northern Kentucky, and I go home every Tuesday morning. I have my son every Tuesday night, and typically this is the only month I've ever picked up Wednesdays, but typically I have him every Wednesday night, and then I come back to Nashville or stay in town and play a show. And so I have to get those dates in when I can. So we do two shows Sundays, two shows Wednesdays, two shows on Saturdays every one this month, and you know, you just got to get it in when you can. When I made the decision to move here, you know, I'm a father. And, you know, I'm definitely a part of my son's life, and that's the most important thing. You know, there's weeks where, you know, we're playing on the road, and I try to catch up that little bit of time with him that I miss, but not very often. It's a four-hour drive back home. I make it every Tuesday morning, pick him up, and then, you know, come back on usually Thursdays or whatever it might be. But, you know, two shows in one day, it's definitely not ideal. And the guy I feel sorry for, I mean, vocally, it works your vocals, but them drummers back there, they're working pretty hard. And my show, again, like I said, it's very high energy, up tempo music, not a lot of ballads, not a lot of slow stuff. So those guys are working. Hopefully he's not listening. Might ask for a raise, but those guys are working the hardest up there on stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you sound like a great father too. What's the little boy's name?
Michael Anthony Cefferetti IV.
My name is Michael Anthony John. My God, maybe you're my dad. Right. This is crazy. But, yeah, and you're booked up right to December 30th, buddy. So, I mean, congratulations. You're certainly strengthening that muscle. I think you're working out harder than Vinny.
I wish. I think he's in much better shape than me these days. I need to spend a little bit more time in the gym and a little less time eating in between shows, walking from Big Shots to Crossroads.
In a perfect world. When is the big launch? When is the big debut of the new CD?
We're shooting for the 22nd. I think we're in Cincinnati at Toby Keith's we are going to hopefully do the CD release party that evening there. I'm not going to announce it until I know that can be a reality. If not, it'll be within 2 weeks of that. And then we just, probably the biggest break of recent history, we just got an endorsement deal by Ariat Footwear and Apparel.
Great.
And, so they're helping us out with merchandise. It's always great when your favorite boot decides to help you out and endorse you. You're not wearing things that you didn't wear before. So that's going to help us out a lot with, just merchandise and being able to help out with our fans and get them some shirts and things like that. So it's going to be a group effort. I think we're going to do a CD release party and Ariat party on the same date. Shooting for that Saturday at Toby Keith in Cincinnati is my goal. So we should be in the studio next week. Like I said, I finalized two of the songs over the last few days, and so it should be done, and I'm very, very excited about it. This has been a long process. My mentality when I came here is I didn't want to cut corners. I see too many people jump too early, so I spent a year looking at studios, spent a year looking at musicians, finding co-writers that really got what was going on inside my head. So I'm very proud of what we're going to put out, and I can't wait to hear it myself.
Right. After you finish, this is a question actually from Gina from California. Actually, he wants to know, after he completed his recording of his new CD, what happens that takes additional time before it becomes available? I think everybody thinks once you record it, you just get to upload it to Facebook and everybody gets to hear it, but the marketing and the packaging and stuff, so.
It's not just, you've got artwork that has to be done, the CDs, the cases all have to be printed out, and the CDs themselves have to be copied and run. And so when you get done with the studio, you're probably looking a week or so, 2 weeks of having the final product. This will be my first experience with anything at this level, so I'm going to be learning as I go. I might be able to answer those questions a little bit better as we go along. But, they do it every day down here. This is, when you're in music, Nashville's the place to be. So we're going to be on the express path getting it done. To play into the amount of people that we're getting to play to, we've got to have this product out and get it out there, because every night it's the same questions. Where can we get a CD? Are you on iTunes? So, we just want to get it out there, and it'll be available, trust me, as soon as I have it in my hands. We'll get it. We'll probably be on iTunes before I actually have them in my hands, because they'll be getting copies and all that, and we'll have all the electronic files.
Yeah, I'm a moderate fan of the downloaded music. I still like getting a CD that you crack it open, you spend, you break three teeth, and you have to get the fork out to open because the cellophane is so friggin' tightly wound, and then the jacket with the words and everything, and you go through it. I'm an old school kind of music person.
I haven't downloaded a song in probably 5 or 6 years.
Good for you.
I buy the CDs whenever I'm learning a song to cover for our shows. I think the last two songs, last two CDs I bought was Eli Young and Dirk Bentley. And I think I just bought that. And, it's out of respect for the music itself. And then when you get to read them,
the artist.
Those guys where the artist, you get to know them. I remember Trent Tomlinson's CD, I read the back of it. It might be one of the inspirations that brought me to where I'm at. It just talked about Fink and so many people that helped him out. And for him to be able to be in Nashville and play for a living, if he could do it, anybody could. And you just get to know the artists, the artwork in there, get to know a little bit more about them. And I'm a junkie. I'm always watching the shows, the backstories on the artists and that. So I think it's very important. I wish everybody would go out there and just buy the CDs, because, there's a lot of songwriters that they get cuts on these CDs, but if you don't have a single that people are downloading, those artists are, they're starving too. They aren't making the money that the guy who wrote the hit that was on the radio is making. So it's for $10, $12, $13, you have the whole thing right there, and you're supporting music.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's so cool to go to the store and actually buy, or go on Amazon and actually buy your friend's music. Now when yours comes out, I get to actually go buy it and hold it. It does something too for the fans. It's good old school crap. I don't know. I'm not too. I listened to some music the other day in my friend's car. I didn't understand what the hell was going. It's her son's music on his iPod, and it's some kind of dead nuns or whatever the hell music it was. It's not even legible, and I can't believe that someone would go ahead and actually green light a project like that. You know what I mean? So
You know, it's, you know, to each his own. I know I listened to a lot of things growing up that maybe my parents didn't agree with, but, you know, that's the beauty of music, whether I like it or whether you like it. Somebody thought that that was their expression they wanted to get out, so that's the beauty of music. It's and on one hand, when you're a parent, it's ugly, but when you're a quote-unquote artist, you know, it's your license to do so. So, you know, I support those guys, too. I'm not going to go out and buy that CD and not listen to it, but you know, they have every right to make theirs, and I'm sure that there's obviously he's got it, so somebody's out there buying it.
Yeah. Buddy, we're running out of time. I just want to ask you quickly, how did you get tangled up with Toby Keith?
I was on vacation. I used to bowl very competitively and actually for a partial living in a past life, and I still go to the National Bowling Tournament every year. And we were in Vegas, and I just fell in love with that bar. You know, all my buddies wanted to go clubbing and do the bottle VIP thing, and that's just not me. I'm a Kentucky guy. And so on the fifth night there, me and my best friend, we went out and bought some cowboy boots just for one night out, and we hit Toby Keith, and we just fell in love with the place out there. And I worked on that gig for 2 years. Steve Stevenson out in Las Vegas is the guy that booked us, and he was the first person that really actually – he turned me down but gave me advice at the same time, said, you know, if you do this, if you do that, you'll be ready. So I would go back to the drawing board. I would, you know, send him some more video. This is what we're doing now. And he'd give me some more advice. And you know, he was really the first person that made me start using Nashville musicians, the first person that made me look at things other than just the music. This is a whole package deal. This is an image situation. It's about presenting yourself in a professional manner and being taken seriously. And he really helped me out a lot. And for 2 years I worked on him. And I swore to him, I said, you give me one chance to come out there, I promise you it'll be you calling me instead of me calling you. And sure enough, we played our first date January 26th, I think it was. And we've been out. This will be the sixth trip, I think the fifth or sixth trip here in October when we go out there. That was the first Toby Keith that we played. Ironically enough, in Cincinnati, Toby Keith in Cincinnati made me bring my band up from Nashville to audition on a Monday night. And I had to pay them out of my pocket. And, you know, we played an hour-long set. We had about 100 people come out and support us. And they loved us. And now we're one of the most heavily booked bands there. It's a 16,000-square-foot room, and it's actually the smallest one that particular franchise owns. The one they just opened in Chicago is 46,000 square feet, so we're really excited about getting out there. I can't imagine, you know, playing to a room that big, and I mean, they're packed house every single night. Cincinnati, though, I can't imagine one being as loyal, and I mean, these people just hold on to every word, and they appreciate, you know, what we're doing up there. A lot of bars that you play in the scene, you know, they want to hear rock and roll at a certain point of night because they want to dance. At this particular place, they want to hear country music. They want to, you know, sing along to that, and that really, you appreciate that as an artist. And so the Toby Keiths have been wonderful for us. We're hopefully, well, I'm trying to put a promotion together, actually a meeting tonight. Hopefully the area tour will be going to all the Toby Keiths and you know, doing promotions, boots and jeans and things like that. Getting our music out, getting their product out, and entertaining crowds all over the country. So I look very much looking forward to that.
Wow, buddy, congratulations. That's fantastic. And again, you just exhaust me. But hey, please say hi to Toby Keith from Adobe's Victoria. I'd love to go ahead and chat with him one of these days. Hey, you use what you use. You know, you're the closest thing I got to Toby Keith. But buddy,
you know,
I want to thank you.
She's probably closer than I am.
I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. Go ahead
my
and
pleasure.
Check
Thanks
out.
Thanks too much for.
Where can people find you, buddy?
They can get on the website. We actually have a new website launching, but we'll wait till that address is available. But right now we're on the free site. It's Seth Michael, CEFMICHAEL.JIMDO.com. Our schedule's on there, some pictures. I think there's a link to a little bit of music. But over the next 4 or 5 months, all that's going to be, you know, switching up and getting music right there on the website. You know, Facebook. I do my own Facebook. We don't pay anybody to talk for us. I do my own Twitter, my own Facebook,
right.
Seth Michael. I'm the only one in the world. If you put an H in there, you'll get some chef who's evidently pretty popular. But if you spell it right, you'll get me, and I'd love to be your friend. And we you know, we take time to answer all emails, and we look to play all over the country. That's one of the best things about this job is, you know, you get paid to see the country, see the world. So looking forward to meeting as many people as we can.
Absolutely. Buddy, a pleasure meeting you. And please promise you're going to come back when you got the CD in hand and stuff, and we're going to have a whole hour and listen to it and have a lot of fun, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
My absolute pleasure, buddy. You take care. You've been listening to Seth Michael on At Home with Victoria. Fantastic guy. Again, teasing us with the music, but I'm going to keep the music ball rolling, actually. John C. Smith is on the line. We're going to go ahead and come back to him right after his song. John C. Smith runs the Songwriter Showcase at my favorite restaurant called Aqua Soul. It's down on the Harbor Restaurant and Bar, 3600 Summit Harbor Place. Fantastic food, but he puts together these Songwriter Showcases, and I've met up with an old friend of mine, Jerry Smith. So when we come back, we're going to be talking with John C. Smith. He's got an MS benefit down on the harbor, but for 3 minutes, we're going to listen to Jerry Smith. Save it for later. Don't go away. Jerry Smith, now joining me, John C. Smith. How are you, Johnny boy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us tonight. What are you thinking about? What do you think about Mr. Seth Michael? I know you tuned in a little bit earlier.
Oh man, he sounds awesome.
I know. We should have him play the Aquasol.
I would love to. I would have loved to have got him in for Saturday.
I know, wouldn't that be great? John, you're new to the audience. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a musician yourself, and actually, I thank you for putting together this benefit. Yourself has been diagnosed with MS, I think, what did you tell me, 2 years ago?
Yeah, April of last year I was diagnosed. Apparently, I've had it for quite a long time. I just didn't know it. Symptoms were just, you blow them off as other things.
Yeah.
And eventually I wound up running the gambit of the tests that you need to go through to rule everything else out, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was your definitive test for Steve? It was his MRI, finally.
Actually, mine was a series of MRIs, an eye test, about four blood tests, and a 2.5 hour conversation with my MS specialist.
Mm-hmm. You're diagnosed with relapsing remitting, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So you're on the medications are intramuscular and intra.
Right. I'm on intramuscular interferon. One of the good things that just recently came out was instead of being a prefilled syringe, they now have the prefilled pen, which definitely takes the. There's a level of anxiety. Of actually doing the injection process itself, and it's emotionally pretty traumatic, and I struggled with it a lot. I did it, but it was really hard. With the pen, that really is just another step now is eliminated from that. So the whole emotional part of doing the injection is gone. I like the pen a lot.
Yeah. By you saying intramuscular, were you on Avonex?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the three major ones are Avonex, Betaseron, and Copaxone. And I think there's a third one that I can't. The Rebif.
Correct.
And stuff like that. Wow. Yeah. Because Steve is on the Avonex too. And I tell you, Steve never gave himself a shot. He's a lovely person, but he just can't stab himself. And yeah, the level of anxiety of having to lift the muscle away from the bone, because we had a time too where actually the needle hit the bone, then he had an abscess on the bone. I mean, and it just, you know, catapults on that. And every Saturday, do you get the side effects? Because Steve was actually, we do it Saturday night. He was wiped out Saturday night, Sunday night. Monday he was starting to feel better. Tuesday back to work. So, I mean, it was just shit weekend after shit weekend.
Yeah. Actually, I had some pretty extreme side effects, which would take me out for 24 hours, probably for about the first 2 or 3 months. And then little by little, it actually started getting a little bit better. At this point, my side effects range from, a headache with some, what you call it, when you're the last day of a 3-day flu, you feel really washed out and wiped out.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what my side effect is now. But I'm actually one of the lucky ones because I can sleep through it. So
right.
I time it. You know, I take my shot at a certain time. Matter of fact, I took it tonight, about 5 o'clock. So around 9 or 10 o'clock, I'll start feeling the side effects coming on, and I'll be able to just then go to bed. I can sleep, and then by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, as long as I'm not digging ditches or doing something really, you know, major physical, I can pretty much function throughout the day.
Yeah. How does living with MS affect your day? I mean, a lot of people, and MS is just a wicked monster, too, because the symptoms change from case to case, from person to person. How do you live with the MS daily? What are the concessions you make?
For me, it's pretty much just two primary things. I have the right side of my body is affected, so if I am, if I don't get a good night's sleep, if I exert myself too much, the right side of my body tends to not have the strength it should, and like getting into a car. If I'm getting in the passenger side, I have to you know, reach down, grab my leg, and pull it over the door jamb because it won't go all the way. As I'm walking, my leg drags behind me. I can't lift it. It doesn't lift properly. And then throughout the day, I may have one or two bouts, what I call the wall of tired. You just hit this wall of fatigue, and you've not, you're just like, what just hit me? And you have to sit down. If you don't sit down, you will fall down.
Yeah.
And then there's the balance issues, you know, the instability and stuff. Again, because the brain is not getting the signals to the muscles, so therefore the muscles that aren't getting the signals are not getting exercised. So therefore there's a progression of deterioration of muscle tone.
Yeah.
So it and that just kind of comes in over time, and there's a lot you can do, but you know, it takes a lot of focus.
Yeah. Just for those who don't know, what multiple sclerosis is a disease of the central nervous system. It's autoimmune, and basically it's the myelin sheath around the nerves that's slowly disintegrated. Think about it as an extension cord where the rubber is wearing away, and basically everything's shorting out, so the signals aren't reaching the brain to the absolute limb, arm, swallowing, blinking. It affects everything, but... I'm really happy that you're still able to play, buddy. I was fortunate to listen to John play. Who are you playing with? I was curious because everything got kind of muddled after. After Jerry got off, I kind of got a little tipsy, so everything went by the wayside. So it was a very good place to get a little drunk. So
yeah, we have twice a month, first and third Sunday at Aquasol, we do. What we call them, it is a musician's showcase, and it's not necessarily just writers. It's guys who do and girls who do covers as well. What I do is I'll probably play half the set with myself and some core team members, and then I open it up. I invite, like last time when you were there, I invited Jerry in to do a set, and everybody get the invited guests get a set of 10. So that's, you know, the primary target audience are those musicians who are really good but don't get out to play that much. And they usually wind up at open mics doing 3 songs, and that's it. So they're there for 3 or 4 hours, and they get 3 songs. Well, you know, if I find somebody like that and they're really good, this is not an open mic. It's strictly invitational. But, you know, I find those musicians who are really good and just are looking for that extra little break, and I offer them a 10-song set, and they can do all 10 at one time or break it up in 2 sets of 5. It's their choice. And this has been developing. I actually tripped into this whole pattern 2 years ago when I got started playing at Aquasol. But I've always enjoyed the whole jam session atmosphere where you've got the camaraderie of and the networking of musicians that are hanging out together. It's really it's more the behind the scenes. The audience is getting to see the behind the scenes of a jam session. It's a little structured because I got to have some controls to it, but because I don't want it completely chaotic. But it, you know, I've developed this formula that has worked out really well. One of the guys who plays primarily with me, Tommy Keith, another guy, Brian O'Sullivan, and a recent new member, Julie Molesky, really just we work out songs like we rehearse a few songs during the week, and then you know we'll hit it on the next gig, and we've developed a really cool sound. We're primarily what we've developed is our harmonies. We've developed a really unique and tight harmony, and people seem to really enjoy it. So that's where we are. But then I open the rest of the gig up for other musicians. We've had, and if you come Saturday, a lot of the acoustic musicians that are playing in between the bands are just, you know, these are all the members of the what I call the acoustic jam. Who have played with us before, and I invite them out to play in between the bands so that we have that nonstop theme. And that's the other thing the acoustic jam does. We don't take breaks. It's nonstop. Whatever the gig is, wherever it is, we do nonstop music.
I'll be there at 2. I can get there by 2. I worked it out. Actually, me and Kelly are going to come down cool. with a friend of ours, so that's going to be great. And it's going to be outside, right?
Yes, yes. We're
fantastic.
We're looking good so far. We got a slight chance of thunderstorms, but I think it's like a 20% or something like
that.
That's
rude.
So,
it'll turn into a Woodstock. I wouldn't even worry about it. Absolutely. Actually, I want to go ahead. I want to play a little bit more music. In honor of you, I would really love you. I know you're familiar with Rich Fagan. Richard Fagan was on the show a while ago with wife Rosie. I love them very much, and they are Nashville cornerstones and everything. So we're going to go ahead and play a tune, Richard Fagan, If I Were the Rain. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more with John C. Smith. Don't go anywhere.
If I were an oak tree, my roots would run deep in the fertile ground beneath your feet. And I'd shade you in these mighty arms that hold my lead, and you could lean on me if I were an oak tree. If I were the heavenly sky, you'd be the compass that keeps the moon and stars in line, and I'd be watching over you both day and night from up on high. If I were the heavenly sky. But if I were the rain, would you run for me? If I were the rain, pouring down on a cold, dark day, if I were the rain, would that change everything? Or would you drink me in, take me as I am? If I were the rain, if I were a song, you'd be the harmony to a feeling deep inside of me, and the music that we'd make would last eternally. We'd go on and on. If I were a song, but if I were the rain, would you run for me? If I were the rain, pouring down on a cold, dark day, if I were the rain, would that change everything? Or would you drink me in? Take me as I am, if I were the rain.
Richard Fagan, If I Were the Rain. See, if it rains, John, it's Richard Fagan popping by. I mean, that's how I want to look at it.
There you go.
Yeah,
we're actually prepped. If for some reason it's more than just a little spit, then we're prepared to pull it inside.
Absolutely. Let's talk about how this music extravaganza became the second annual one, Living with MS Benefit. How did you end up doing the first one? Just by accident?
I did have an idea in my head that I wanted to do some type of a when I got into the music and I started doing the whole jam session thing, I was like, really, in the back of my head, I wanted to do something that was really kind of a wow thing. And I didn't want it to be profit-making. I wanted it to be, I know musicians, and I know they'll come out for a good cause. And I thought, you know, I got to be able to come up with something. And my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, passed away in 2008, and my dad at the same year. And she passed away of lung cancer. So I was thinking about doing something for Christiana Cares, cancer center. And then just about at that time that I started thinking about what I wanted to do, I actually got diagnosed with MS. So I shifted my efforts and I said, well, you know what? I'm going to do something to do as an MS benefit. And I started doing some research about, you know, where's the best, you know, what's going on in the area. And it turned out that the most predominant impact on the country really is the National MS Society. And they have about the best outreach programs and that type. So I thought that's probably where I want to, you know, focus my attention. And I reached out to them and I said, I'm planning on doing an event. And they said, well, you know, that's nice. And we got a lot of third party events. And somewhere along the line, I started developing this whole music festival thing. And I also used to do staff development in a number of years ago. And we used to always do, I used to do all kinds of creative things about how to educate people. So I came up with the not only the music festival, but I also wanted to do it as an I wanted people to be aware and get educated on MS. So I came up with the poker run. I called it the poker run last year. It really isn't a run. It's more of a crawl.
That's exactly what people with MS should be doing. I can't stand all these MS runs. It makes me giggle inside.
Yeah. So I renamed it this year. It's the MS official MS awareness poker crawl, and it's five informational booths that if you come to Aquasol, you'll see they got this fabulous outside patio, and around the patio is a ramp that takes you down to the docks at the marina. Well, it also loops back up and brings you back up to the other side of the patio. So I put informational booths all the way around the patio.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So for your ticket price going in, you get a play card. And you can go down. You can look at the information. We have, like, the first booth is what is MS. And then the next one is maybe symptoms and therapies. The next one might be services, provider services, which is primarily this year. We have a large sponsor, ChristianaCare, came out in spades on sponsorship. So our entire imaging services group are going to be staffing a number of our booths this year. And so we have, like, the last booth we have is research. And Dr. Jason Silverstein, which is the one of the leading MS specialists, neurologists in the country right now, loaned me his research analyst, and he's going to be staffing that booth. So if you ever interested in what's going on in research today for MS, that's a booth you want to hang out at and chat a little bit. So with the poker run, as you go to each booth, you can pull a play card, and you mark it down on your card, and you can buy up to three additional cards to better your hand. And then between 5 and 5:30, I actually offer a bonus round. You can go get a free card. So the winner of the poker hand at the end of the night here wins a gift card tree, which is sitting currently in my living room right now. And it is not just a plastic tree. This is a hibiscus, and it's about 4 feet tall. And I still haven't figured out how I'm going to get it there. But it's got $720 worth of gift cards hanging on it. And that'll go to a single winner.
Wow. God, now I'm really excited to go. This is working out fantastic.
And there's so much more. It's not. We've got all kinds of Chinese auctions, silent auctions. We got over 20 gifts that were donated that we're going to be auctioning off. Two vacations, an acoustic guitar, wine tastings, happy hour parties, Visa gift cards, all just restaurant cards all over the place. We've got a ton of stuff that we're going to be raffling off.
Wow. Once again, it's at the Aquasol Restaurant and Bar. $20 a person, $35 for a couple. There's discounts on prepaid online tickets. You can go ahead and get more information and get your tickets at www.theacousticjam.org. Once again, it's at 3600 Summit Harbor Place in Bear, Delaware. And actually, the boaters can have a special event slip rate discount. For details, call the Summit North Marina at 302-836-1800. Are all proceeds going to the MS Society, or are you doing a percentage?
Aquasol is doing a percentage, but if you are going to be seated on the outside, on the deck, or in the patio, they are going to require a ticket.
Great. Super. And you can get tickets at the door as well?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely, because that's what I'm coming with. I'm coming with my wallet with a bunch of cash because I want to go ahead and do the 50-50 raffles and I want to do the poker crawl, which I think is just so brilliant, buddy. I think it's great. Buddy, we're running out of time. I want to thank you so very much. Did you have fun tonight? This is your first time at Home of Victoria. Are you actually losing your radio virginity to me?
No, I'm sorry, not.
Oh, okay. I thought I'd be special that way.
This is actually my third. Last year I had one up in Westchester, and I had another one this year for a local radio station. You guys really make it easy because you kind of lead us right into the right answers.
Right. Oh, that's very kind of you to say. And please, you know, during your sessions at Aquasol, they should be giving me free food because we've mentioned their names many, many times already. But when you come along, really great talent, buddy, let me know because, I mean, Victoria, at Home of Victoria is all about the indie artist and a huge support to that area. So I would like to work closely with you on this.
Absolutely. I can tell you there is one young man who hasn't even graduated high school yet who is absolutely going to just absolutely kill the industry.
Wow.
Chad Michael Jervis. He is one incredible singer-songwriter.
Wow, Chad Michael Jervis. Make a note of it, everybody. Buddy, I want to go ahead and thank you again for joining us. I'll see you on Sunday, and I don't know if you can get me a good table, but any table with you is a good table, buddy.
Thanks, and it's Saturday.
Absolutely. I'll see you Saturday, buddy. You take care, and congratulations on the event. I know it's a huge undertaking to wrangle in a bunch of, hooligans, but you do it, and you make it easy.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I thank you for the time.
My absolute pleasure, buddy. You take care.
All right.
You're listening to John C. Smith, Music Extravaganza, once again at the Aquasol Restaurant and Bar. MS, it's a shitstorm. Basically, it is. Steve right now is in respite, for those who know Steve and I, and he'll be there until Monday. He's really enjoying it. And I kind of want to go ahead and make a special honor to this. Shelley Wren, and this is all off, off air, and Shelley's good with it and stuff, but Steve has asked Shelley if she would actually lend her voice to the hospice organization. I don't know what we're going to do, how we're going to go ahead and do it, but he loves Shelley dearly. Shelley was one of our very first guests, and does our intros and outros and has become a great friend over the years. So kind of want to dedicate this song to Steve, but before I do, I want to go ahead and thank everybody up in chat. Don Quinn, thanks for joining us. Gina from California, guest 5768, guest 6112, guest 6315. Marby, great producing. And Sandy from Nebraska, honey, I hear you're kind of under the weather, so huge love your way. Anyways, for my partner, my friend, my absolute being, Shelley Wren with Rescue Me. We'll be back next Thursday, so goodbye and God bless.
the addiction wants more. It won't stop till it's done, destroys everything but the enemy. I can hear him cry.
With Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.